Good evening, everyone. I am Rudolf Crocodile Hucker, and I can assure you that all of this will make sense later in the show, unless, of course, Lithobreak has already worked it out, in which case he can tell you. Joining me this arvo is the little jumbuck, Harry Balzac.
G'day.
The Ripper, Wilma Fingerdo.
Howdy.
Ready to apologise on everyone's behalf is Mia Harkness.
She'll be right, mate.
Just plain ready is a pom that'll never whinge. It's Juan Kerr.
Good on you, mate.
And, of course, sitting under the shade of the Coolabah tree is the sweet as they come, Norma Snockers.
No worries.
Ripper, now on with the show. Cecil gets his helping hand caught in the cookie jar.
Captain Beard says theft is no skin off his nose. Is he taking the bris?
Ask yourself, what would Scooby-Loo do?
Frontier Towers absconds from showers.
Fuel Rat gets a face full of dog's breath.
In lieu of Lou, it's me telling you.
My two cents on making sense of events.
To Alvin Dishere from Cecil B. Trumpington. That's me. Regarding a slight mishap concerning Drunk Russian 23. Dear Alvin, it appears there may have been a slight little mishap on board of one of those lovely fleet carrier thingies. Finding myself temporarily a little strapped for cash, I took on a job recently to look after a nice, really big consignment of gin. For the mug, on behalf of Commander Drunk Russian 23. I mean, with a name like that, you wouldn't trust him with the key to your drinks cabinet, would you? And I never did understand what he meant about Fox and Hen House. Perhaps it was his way of being affectionate, after all. He did say, for Fox's sake, not you, when I arrived for my assignment. After checking just a few bottles to make sure they did, for the mug, indeed contain gin that they were supposed to, I was awoken from a restful sleep by the sound of pirates. Or rather, a pirate. Well, it was somebody creeping around at any rate. I bravely reached out to tap him on the shoulder, forgetting, of course, that I was still holding a very luckily empty bottle, and I may have accidentally tapped him on the head rather hard with it. At this point, standing over the now prone body, I realised that, of my host, it was him, yes, inebriated Slav 42, or whatever his name is, and I decided the best way to avoid any misdirected wrath that may be pointed my way was to do something really nice for the chap and help him with his task of delivering the booze. So I launched his cutter with us both on board and looked around for our destination. Aha! We were 2,000 light-years from habitable space, surrounded by about five types of bugger-all, and that became six when Mr. Rat-Assed Siberian 2.0's fleet carrier proceeded to crawl up on its own fundament as it disappeared from view. Now, I really do think that the button in the cockpit marked Eject Fuel Scoop, Do Not Press Under Any Circumstances is just a teensy little bit ambiguous. Though, I must accept just the smallest part of the blame for putting my glass down on top of it. Mr. Sozzled Muscovite 17 was terribly nice about the whole thing, luckily, But things would have looked just a mite tricky for us, stranded as we were, within every decreasing cargo of gin for the mug, when that splendid chap, that Python bloke, yes, you know the one, Montgomery, he's the one, arrived with his carrier and offered us a lift to catch up with our missing one. Now, at this point, all would have been perfectly okay, except that after delivering a quantity of gin for the mug, where it was needed, Mr. Bladdered Bolshevik Pyar Squared may have sampled too much of his own product, as he was apparently distracted by lots of flying orange sidewinders. When taking a pot shot at one of them, he may have accidentally grazed just a little part of the station we were in. Hence me dictating this letter from a detention centre, back in the bubble. Yours sincerely, me.
Throughout the galaxy, there are names and faces of the infamous plastered all over the walls of security management offices, law enforcement boards, and printed on the back of Azure milk cartons. Names such as the dastardly Don Antonacci, wanted for crimes against Hutton, or Harry Potter, wanted for waving his wand where it wasn't wanted, and Commander Thrust of Bradford, wanted for breaking temporal laws and spilling the beans on what's in Odyssey, as, in his words, he's already completed it. This week, a new face has appeared on the board, one Arthur Tolmie, of the Pilots Federation. This former communications officer, we say former, as after his deeds, there's no way the PF would let him stay at Shinrata anymore, has been implicated in a heist. Daylight robbery, breaking and entering, thievery of the smashy grabby kind. As part of the testing team for tenuous atmospheres, he was tasked with testing the trigger mode on his new flight suit, and only on planets with aforementioned thin atmospheres. It appears that he not only managed to smuggle his suit out after the tests and go hopping around on an airless world like a moon landing Merkin after a mean fairway shot, but also borrowed some of the new Odyssey brand equipment due for release later this year. He then proceeded to break into a saloon, knock back a sarsaparilla, enter a gunfight with a few of the locals, start a barroom brawl, break the pianola, keep the undertaker busy, break into the bank, shout stick 'em up, steal everything that wasn't nailed down, and then hold up a stagecoach with a bandana over his remlock and a menacing glint in his eye. He is now said to be on the run with a number of known accomplices, including one Commander Braben, wanted for poking things with his Dysonator, Commander Benedetti, for masquerading as a Scotsman despite clearly being Sicilian Mafia, and Commander Garrido for actually being Sicilian Mafia. The frameshift bandits, as they are now known, are considered to be armed with broadcast equipment and an ensuite and should be treated as exceedingly dangerous. A fifth member of the gang is as of yet unidentified, though there are rumours that he might be the notorious new boy Don 2, known for his signature Zack Attack disarming move. They're said to be being aided by Doc Ross and their getaway pilot Crowther, a former butler from the Empire, making them the Munificent Seven, stealing from the rich and then handing out purple paint jobs to those in need. If you see these criminals, and if you value your sanity and safety, please report them to the Galactic Forums as soon as you can.
Hutton's administration team received an incoming communication from Commander Scooby-Loo this week on behalf of Alvin, who gets everyone to open his post for him in case it's not wonky chalk dog treats and therefore disappointing. It contains a harrowing tale of the trials and tribulations of a long-term trucker who has been brung low by a case of the mods. Yes, mug ownership deficiency syndrome. Feeling more than a little under the weather, Scoob was hauled by a fellow commander to the Hutton Infirmary for a bit of a checkup and an extended MOT by the HMT, that's Hutton Medical Technician, was immediately quarantined and brought under the care of Nurse Wyeth, mods expert and pair of hands in which every trucker feels a little better when they've got the lurgy. Mods is a horrific condition, masquerading as everything from space mumps to the lurgy, cooties, general malaise, hotbox thumb, oof, and much more besides. And after being put into the hospital by Honkatron, it was confirmed to have spread through his system. Only one solution for it, the rapid insertion of a mug direct to his renal system. Of course, we don't know why it wasn't powdered and given as an ice drink, or even just turned into medical grade tools and gently rubbed on the affected area, but there we go. With a little pushing and shoving and more than a few tears in his eyes, it was inserted, and he was told to get plenty of bed rest and not to move for fear of shattering the mug and ending up with an MRI, that's mug-related injury. Skib's first thought, though, wasn't for himself, but for a fellow trucker, a commander named Halfbreed Rubio. Commander Rubio, by way of helping ensure that Scoob was safely tucked away in hospital, that he had some Hollow Me company, and by ensuring that Scoob wasn't worrying about those big fleet carrier bills when he was indisposed, has, in the opinion of Scoob, behaved as a proper Hutton trucker should, caring for his fellow pilot, even if all the way from Colonia and via digital connection. Having reviewed the nomination and circumstances surrounding it, Alvin has authorised the award of a Hutton mug in recognition of behaviour most becoming a Hutton trucker, and asked that the Halfbreed Rubio please contact Hutton HQ at the earliest opportunity to have all manner of things pinned on him, maybe even the blame for LHS 340, you never know. Remember, real personal use Hutton mugs can't be bought, only earned. And helping to look after your fellow pilots in their darkest hours is the most worthy of methods.
It appears that whilst many of us have been shivering under our space blankets, and even Buck Naked's been shoveling a different kind of material than usual, snow as it happens, the Pilots Federation appear to have beaten a hasty retreat from the splendour of Frontier Towers and moved to somewhere much, much warmer, almost to the other side of the world. Namely, a land down under. If words like down and under can be used in a galaxy that really shouldn't be limited to such an outdated concept, but we're using them whether or not it's politically or even galactically correct. How did we come to this conclusion? Well, owing to a recent spat between Galbuk and a small island off the coast of Tasmania, where the islanders wanted to make the news pay-per-view, meaning that in order to access the news, they were forcing their denizens to insert coins, then pull a large handle to see what random collection of words would appear on the screen. Which doesn't actually seem to us to be very much different from the way most news outlets set up their front pages. Anyone trying to use the Pilots Federation news outlet was summarily told that Australian news can't be shared. The only way this could happen would be if Galbuk thought that the Pilots Federation was based near a billabong. Now, without this, we'd never have suspected that the staff canteen was now serving giant prawns from a beach barbie instead of curled up egg and cress sandwiches in rainy Cambridgeshire. We'd have had no inclination that the designs for Odyssey suits now incorporate a place to keep your tinnies, and the world would have been spared the sight of David Braben in shorts. We can only hope that the Pilots Federation soon come to their senses and come back home, because goodness knows how they'll interpret slip, slap, slop.
Sticking with the Antipodean theme, we've had an exclusive transcript of the latest interview by Commander Dogsbreath of the Head Fuel Rat aboard the fleet carrier Everest. Due to a communications breakdown, as only Hutton can manage on our shores, we've used Axis to fill in for the missing audio section of this broadcast. We apologise in advance for any stereotyping, inadvertent humour we insert into the next section. Your interviewer, Commander Dogsbreath, is voiced by Bruce, a visiting Australian. Your interviewee is the Chief Mission Fuel Rat from the carrier Everest, voiced by some posh English type we found lurking in the bar.
G'day. Our first question Can I land my Sidewinder on the helipad?
I'm terribly sorry about that. Depends on how good a pilot you are. It's only a small pad, and it takes 12.5 metric tons.
Damn, my C-rated Sidewinder with optionals, utilities and HPs, empty weighs at least 30. So, what's the mug-based beverage of choice amongst the crew?
Freshly ground quality coffee, of course.
Now, how cold are your Snickers and how many tons can be feasibly stowed on board?
We've run out of Snickers, but we can fit 17 million 50 gram bars.
Did you give the landlubbers Snickers or just normal boring food?
Oh, they don't deserve Snickers.
The chief fuel rat logo falls off his face mask at this point.
Cat? Ah, right. How early in the morning do you get up? I'm not sure I could stomach anything before about 11:45 a.m.
Mornings are a figment of twisted imaginations.
Very good. Heads, bio waste. Do you flush or vacuum? And are two heads better than one?
We vacuum, and two are definitely better than one because I hate queuing for anything.
Yeah, an important scientific question here. Is it one type, or are there different fuels for different applications?
We've got several types of fuel and several prices.
And how is the fuel stored to prevent it freezing?
Stored in bulk tanks, some require heating, others don't. ULP and ATK are stored in drums.
Now, what are the precautions and mitigations for storage and transfer against spillage?
We have very strictly adhered to the standard operating procedures and checklists, and only a few rats and occasional hucking truckers are allowed to pump fuel.
Yeah, very important question here from Alvin. Do you have a ship's cap?
No ship's cap, but we do have cap flaps.
And what is the biggest snowman you've built in Antarctica?
3.5 meters using a small excavator.
Here's a rather strange one. What do you answer when you're asked, how many polar bears have you seen?
Only one.
Now, as we know, all southerners are soft, and the Antarctic is about as south as it gets. So the important question is, what's the least amount of clothing you've dared to wear outside in Antarctica? Because, you know, a Newcastle lad would be shirt off.
Clothes? What are clothes? We do a midwinters and midsummer swim each year. Some people might wear budgie smugglers if they're shy.
Now, which species of penguin has been observed to tap dance best?
Adelies.
That's quite controversial. Are you sure? Our voyage management assistant is confident it'd be rockhoppers.
No, Adelies.
Any particular reason why?
Well, there's more of them, and anyway, rockhoppers are more like punks, and they can't dance.
And also, is there a clear briefing item that no one, absolutely no one, is to lick any exposed metal parts of the ship?
Oh, yes. It gets mentioned a number of times.
And more importantly, has it ever happened?
Well, not that I know of. As a side note, the Antarctic Field Manual recommends a warm liquid be used to remove sticky... I should start again. As an interesting side note, and possibly more coherent than the last one, the Antarctic Field Manual recommends a warm liquid be used to remove ice-stuck body parts. Fortunately, when a young lady licked a carabiner on the bow of the Aurora and was asked to kneel at the feet of her rescuer, there was a flask of warm Milo handy. True story.
Right. I'm glad you cleared that one up. Now, what's the strangest smell on the ship?
Oh, that's easy. Cabin 806.
And have you ever seen any ancient ruins or 6-foot-tall penguins?
Yes, but not all at the same time. I've got a few fun facts for everyone to finish this off. Types of fuel are SAB, Special Antarctic Blend, diesel with a waxing point of around -20°C, but usually heated to 10 degrees C before running in a generator. Our main fuel for power generation and big plant. ULP, unleaded petrol, good to around minus 25 C, but additives can be added at any point. ATK, aviation turbine kerosene. All of our ATK has anti-waking agents and is good at any temperature. You can crank a helicopter rotor. MOD, MDO, good God, man. MDO, marine diesel oil. The ship runs on it and we take a couple million litres with us for fun and giggles.
Thank you both. We look forward to seeing the pictures once you either A, get back home, or B, work out how to turn the transmitter back on.
We have a bit of a howling wolf problem, so with a bit to pack in, I'll whistle through it. Firstly, in Carson and Ari, it was yet another week of embarrassment for Hutton, as we inexorably climbed to almost 25%, despite, of course, assuring the controlling player faction, Ronin Inc., that we have no hostile intent. It was all going fine until a week ago, and then we started to climb again. Alvin is not in the least pleased, so work against Hutton in Carson and Ari. You're a Hutton trucker, so get the hell out of there. We have two systems, LHS 340 and LP24510, that are both far too high at 74%. So grow your hair a bit, pull on your drain pipes, skin up a spliff, and return them back to the groovy 60s, please. Alas, two of our litter are in need of a bit of love this week, and perhaps a tickle behind the ear. Wolf 1481, yes, that's right, where you're all shooting the crap out of things at the weekend, and Wolf 359. Both have reached that sad stage of abject resignation that are in the mid-30s, so help them get through it by running missions. There are two nice shiny stations in Wolf 359 with lots of juicy missions, so it's not that difficult. A third system, also going through the mid-30s crisis, is Barnard Star, which has both a civil war and an election this week. Neither of these involve Hutton, but they are locking up 50% of the system influence, so it's difficult to do much about our own flagging state until those are over. However, if you do want to poodle around in Barnard Star and want to give 10 Fleet a poke in the nadgers whilst you're at it, they are losing their election for third place 3-0. So help out by running election missions for Barnard Star Alliance. When it's over, get in there and boost Hutton influence so that we don't constantly have the other factions bickering with each other, locking up the inf. Oh, and give 10 Fleet another kick in the crotch for good measure. Speaking of crotches, an situation has arisen in George's pants. There has been a swelling of nefarious activity, and the phrase, "I've come a long way to relieve you of your load," is being heard a little too often. That's right, folks. It looks like we have pirates in Pants's pants, and George, being the very model of a modern Major General, looks like he caught it from Wolf 124 earlier in the week, where pirates are also rampaging about, so get in there and make those thieving scum walk the plank. Reputation aside, there are no rings, hazardous zones, or resource sites in George's pants, and the nav beacon is pretty quiet, so earn bounties elsewhere and cash them in at Zamka platform. Last week's infrastructure failure in AVIC was dealt with quickly and efficiently, and once again, there are top-rated influence missions to Y0855714, so well done there to those who shipped in water purifiers, power generators, and HE suits. It's slightly more difficult as Bruce Prospect, the Sal Station, is 2,000 clicks in the outback and only has medium pads. Brace yourself, Shrimpy, and chuck another Sheila on the barbie. Do not adjust your set. Out in Colonia, King Hanky has things under reasonable control, but in case of doubt with data drops, etc., contact him directly. We're never sure which of the Hanky clones to contact, eventually. In summary, there has been a little bit more going on this week, with a few bits of grit working their way into the exquisite, finely tuned oyster that is the Hutton BGS. So, listening, you horrible lot, priorities are: stand still at the back there. Eyes front. Yes, you. Number one, get us out of Carson and Ari. 2, if you want to kill things, kill pirates in George's Pants and Wolf 124. If you want to trade things, run Hutton Influence Mission in Wolves 1481 and 359. And thirdly, keep an eye on Barnard's star for the war and elections to end in the next day or so, then boost Hutton Influence as required. Parade! Wait for it! Dismissed!
Now it's time for news of events organised and led by you, the community. First, a word about last weekend's small ship bounty hunting event, organised by Commander Venezia. The whole thing was as smooth as Wotherspoon's delivery, and apparently they didn't lose a single ship. Well, just one. Commander Venezia arrived for the event and realised that he had nearly 3 million in bounties, which he said had come from some work elsewhere in the galaxy. A likely story. Still, he did redeem himself by allowing everyone to blow him up and claim the bounty. This was a good example of a team-driven operation, and thanks goes to Venetia for organising it and for operating healing beam lasers alongside Evil Homer 40, the Cleaner 80, for firing repair limpets at the right time, Rampage 737 for the use of his fleet carrier, and Grizzra's Heart Eater for organising the PC side. The ever-reliable Elite Racers have an event. This Sunday, the 28th of February at 1800 UTC, they will be meeting at the Crucible, a canyon course on TZ Arietis 3C. This will be a core event, meaning 8 heats, followed by a main event where the top 5 races of the day go head to head for the title of course champion. Details in their Discord channel and at bit.ly/SundayCrucible. Eros Maidling and the FTM Isfahan are still wandering drunkenly through the galaxy and should have settled into its location for this week by now, or would have done, except they're making a small detour to pick up Commander Baxter, who seems to have simultaneously got a little bit lost and coincidentally run out of gin. Details on our events page. Saturday 28th at 21 UTC sees the regular CQC Saturday event organised by Commander Venetia. Once again, details are on our events page. And finally, a reminder of King Hanky's bounty hunting in Wolf 1481, starting at 1600 UTC on Saturday. Details are, I'm sure you get the idea by now. If you want your event mentioned here, contact us via Facebook, Discord or email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and we'll drum up what support we can.